John 14, verses 10 to 17. This is Jesus' word. And he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But because it seeth him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwells within you and shall be in you. God bless the reading of the word. Like I said, two Sundays ago, we started this topic. We looked at the event leading to Pentecost in the course of our series of Pentecost experience. We looked at Jesus' command to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, when he told them that they should wait at the upper room. They should stay in Jerusalem until they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they, in obedience to Jesus Christ, they waited. And one of the things we looked at was what we looked at the waiting. What the disciples were doing in terms of the obedience to wait. We looked at what they did while waiting. And we all looked at the fact that there was a lot of activities that happened while waiting. There was something I will call housekeeping. The replacement of Judas, the ability to pray and tarry, the desire, the hunger for God. Then the one accord, they waited in one accord. And when the Spirit came, it came to them in one accord because they were all united in purpose. That waiting was not just like waiting or doing anything. They waited in such a way that they all have the same mind. And what was their goal? They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And they what were they doing with each other? They were admonishing each other in words. And as Christians, that is very important for us these days. We need to understand the power in the Word of God. And remember, in those days, they don't even have the complete Bible as we do. Now we do, but do we even read our Bible? They were waiting. They knew that there was power in the Word. They were encouraging each other in Psalms, encouraging each other in the Word. And as they continued to wait, with expectation, they received. And in receiving, they became empowered. They became empowered, and they fulfilled the Jesus' commandment as well in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. Ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. That promise of Jesus Christ, today we can sit here and say it's been fulfilled. Because the gospel came to us. We're not Jews, are we? But the gospel came to us because that was Jesus' promise that he would reach out to us. And the gospel eventually came to us upon the receipt of the Holy Spirit. The first experience of reaching out to the uttermost part of the world was on Pentecost Day. People were hearing them speaking in their different languages, which was very strange. You're hearing a Jewish man speaking my language, speaking your language, speaking different languages. And it was so lovely that day that they said 3,000 people came to the Lord. The event after Pentecost, after the receiving of the Holy Spirit, was really encouraging. It was encouraging because, number one, they became, one of the promises of the Holy Spirit is that they will give us utterance. There was boldness in the disciples. That was one of the greatest events after Pentecost. The boldness that came to them. Remember that Peter that stood in Acts chapter 2, that stood and was talking to people about Jesus Christ, was the same Peter that denied Jesus Christ. He couldn't, even with a maiden, he was afraid to tell a maiden, I know this Jesus Christ. He was saying, no, I don't know him. But when the Spirit came upon him, he became bold. He was able to speak boldly of Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest things that Jesus told them was that in John chapter 14, verse 26, he said, that spirit that is coming will teach you everything, will teach you all things. And wow, the knowledge that came to the disciples on that day, mere fishermen, men who were, as we had last week, who they were called to be fishers of men. They were fishermen, but they were called to be fishers of men. Jesus is a good, he knows how to use language. They were called to be fishers of men. They had no formal education, but they became a threat to the Sanhedrin. They started speaking boldly the word of truth. And everybody was listening to them. Everybody was hearing what they were saying. That's what the Holy Spirit did with them. They were bold to speak the word of truth. And this was the way they became to understand who Jesus was. Funny enough, when Jesus was with them, do you know the disciples were still not sure of who he was? They were asking, when will the kingdom come? When are we going to see that kingdom that you promised? And Jesus told them, hang on a minute, the kingdom of God is already upon you. I have come. I have brought the kingdom to you. And that is what the Holy Spirit then interpreted in their life. Peter was able to tell people that, you see, this Jesus that you rejected is the cornerstone, is the main rock, is the main thing that is the main thing that will change the history of the world. And 2,000 years down the line, the history of the world changed. Today, we are all saying we are followers of Jesus Christ because of what the Holy Spirit has done, because of the way the Holy Spirit came into them. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. This is what Paul was asking, that he was praying for utterance, that the Spirit should give him utterance. And he said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. This is what the Holy Spirit can only give. No matter how educated you are, no matter how lettered you are, you cannot teach God to people without the Holy Spirit. You might have the book knowledge, but the spiritual knowledge of impacting is in the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that is why, as Christians today, if we want to be effective, if we want to be effective in the world that we live in, we need the Holy Spirit. That is the only way the disciples became effective after Jesus left. That's the only way they were able to preach Jesus to the world. And the world needs effective Christians these days. The world actually needs people who can speak boldly the gospel of truth. The world needs our utterances these days. The world needs us to speak about what Jesus is and what is not. Because sometimes the portraying of Jesus in the world today is like Jesus the superstar. Our Jesus is not a superstar. Our Jesus is the creator of heaven and earth. Our Jesus is not just in the work of doing miracles. He's in the work of changing lives. Our Jesus is not just in the work of setting up churches. Our Jesus is in the work of reaching out to the community. But that will only be done when the Spirit gives us the ability to know the word that will impact. Interestingly, I'll take Paul as an example. Paul went to Athens. And he got there, and they were serving an unknown God. And immediately, the Spirit was able to speak to him and was able to explain to them that this God that you're serving, although you don't know him, but I know him. And he was able to impact into this people's life. We need that kind of spirit to be able to know the word in a season. Are we in that position to speak the word in a season? The world is actually waiting for people who will speak the word in a season, who will speak the right word into the right society, into the right environment. We are seeing the world decaying in our presence, in our face. We are seeing the world going into ruin. We are seeing our world walking away from the Creator. It's our job to bring people back. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we cannot bring people back. What Peter and the disciple had was the fact that they had the utterance of the Holy Spirit to be able to speak into that situation. And when people were hearing them, they were getting converted. Their soul was linking to the message. And that is what we need to do. Proverbs 28 verse 1 talks about the boldness of a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The boldness to speak. It is very important to know that for you to be bold, it is not just by your ability of going into the gym or having all the muscles or being Anthony Joshua, the best boxer in the world. No, the boldness of the world to speak into the right direction and into the right people. Peter was standing before the Sanhedrin, and they were asking him, "Will you denounce it, Jesus?" He said, "No. There's no other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus. I can tell you that now. You might not like it, you might not accept it, but I can tell you that now. There's no other name by which man can be saved than the name of Jesus." It's like someone standing in front of the parliament and saying, "You might make all your laws, you might change everything, you might give gay rights, you might give this right, you might give that right, but one right I know is this. There is a name that you cannot change. There is a type, there is a particular system that you cannot change. And that is the way of Jesus Christ. You cannot, that cannot be compromised and cannot be changed." The boldness that Peter had to tell them boldly, that, "Look, no matter what you say to me, I cannot compromise this Jesus. Because I've had the experience. The Holy Spirit is interpreting, he's telling me about who he is. And I can tell you about it." Romans 8 verse 1 to 2 says, "And therefore, there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus." It's very easy because we read that first chapter. But the second chapter of that Romans 8, verse 2 says, "And for those," he says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So basically, it's not just saying there's no condemnation. We have to be in Christ. And the Holy Spirit will have to put us in that position where we are in Christ. We have to align with Christ Jesus. That's the boldness that they had to speak. And that is what Pentecost did to them. Pentecost, that's what it did to them. You're receiving of the Holy Spirit. What has it done to you? Has it changed your life? Has it given you boldness? Do you cow when people come to you, when you're faced with confrontation? How do you feel? Do you just feel, "Oh, I can't say those words here because these people will not be receptive"? Or do you go back and dig deep into the spiritual part of you and say, "Holy Spirit, give me utterance"? Do you pray the way Paul prayed? "Pray for me that I shall have utterance"? Do you have the impact of the Spirit when Peter was able to stand and speak? He was speaking to as many people as possible. The Bible recorded that there were 3,000 converted, but there were more than 3,000 people there. Do you have the ability to speak like that? It is not your strength. It is the impact of the Holy Spirit. This same Peter could not do that before until the Holy Spirit came. So, as Christians, in our modern world, in the world that we live in, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to be able to speak boldly the word of truth. We always talk about going out and reaching out to people. You cannot reach out to people without the Holy Spirit. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is empty. So there's nothing you can give. And as Lord Dennis said, you cannot place something on nothing. For your foundation is the Holy Spirit. For your utterance is the Holy Spirit. For your ability to reach out is the Holy Spirit. And no matter what book knowledge you have, you cannot impact this word without the Holy Spirit. Pray for the Holy Spirit. This is what they had, and that is why the gospel was able to reach out to us. And that is what we as Christians should be striving for these days. The second thing is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And this is what it says. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is the understanding of those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is what the Holy Spirit can only give you. Why do I say this? We as every human being has a tendency of condemning themselves. We all look at our past and we condemn ourselves. We just feel, oh, this is who I am. But as many as have received Christ, they become Christ. He says, everyone that has accepted Christ, you have become a new creature. You're no longer your old self. The Holy Spirit was able to interpret to Peter and said, this is not you again. Peter, you're not the Peter that hides behind the doors and the curtains and go away and think of fishing. You are now the Peter that is able to speak boldly of God. You're no longer the Paul that is persecuting the churches. You are now the Paul that is telling people about this Jesus Christ. You're no longer that old person that you are. So when you're faced with situation around you, don't let the devil lie to you. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to continue to keep you in that bondage of sin. But Jesus has set you free from that bondage of sin. But for you to understand that freedom that Jesus has given you, you need the Holy Spirit. It's easy to say, I am saved, and I sit in church. But for you to seal your salvation, you need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will constantly well up Christ in you. It will well up the love that God has shown to you in you. It will take away that condemnation that the devil is putting in front of you, because it's very easy. Every day you walk around and the devil has a placard. This is you. And that's what you see every day. But then, as those have been called out into God, you're no longer, when you look at that placard, you will see Christ on the cross. And that's what you see. And then the devil will look at you like, are you not seeing what I've said about you? But you know, you're saying, I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing my Savior on the cross. Because it is not me again. It is Christ that God is seeing in me. That is what you've become. And that is how God has impacted upon you through Christ Jesus, the righteousness of God. We need to understand this, because we are in the world that wants to condemn us. We are in the world that doesn't want us to have anything to be able to tell people about this Jesus Christ. But it's our job to tell the world about Jesus Christ. But we can only tell the world about Jesus Christ if we know him, if we are in him, if we are rooted and grounded in him, if we have the understanding of him, and if we know that I'm no longer condemned. I'm no longer the whole person that the devil is saying I am. I am now the righteousness of God. I am now putting on Christ. All things for me are passed away. All things for me are become new. I am a new creature. I am no longer that person that the devil can toss around. But for you to be able to say that, you need the Holy Spirit. That is what the disciple had. That is what they had, and that's why they were able to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Do you know that among Jesus' disciples were tax collectors? Matthew. Among Jesus' disciples were Peter, that could not even speak boldly of him. But these men became mighty men. They became mighty men upon the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They were able to tell the world. Look at the way the gospel has reached out to the world. And now it has got to us. Are we going to let it stop? Are we going to carry on telling people about the love of Christ? For us to tell people about the love of Christ, We need the Holy Spirit. Number three is the confirmation of sonship. Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. The confirmation of sonship. And it says, know ye not. No, 8:16, sorry. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness. Listen to that. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The moment the Holy Spirit comes into you, things change. You become a child of God. People start seeing a difference in you. The Holy Spirit sealed that in you. He sealed that confirmation in you. And that psalm we read this morning, Psalm 84, says, my springs, all my source is in God. He says, we will mention names, and these ones were born there. Are you born in the Spirit? Can you make bold to say, I was born in the Spirit of God? Can you make bold to say, I live in the Spirit of God? That is what the disciples were able to do. That was why they were able to preach the gospel. That was why they were able to show the gospel to the world. That was why they were able to tell the world how great this Jesus is. And the job is now, the baton is now in our hand. We now have the responsibility to tell the world. But I'm saying this to you. You cannot tell the world things that you don't know. You cannot tell the world things that you're not sure of. And for you to be sure of this, you need the Holy Spirit because He will interpret it to you. You cannot tell the world about this Jesus Christ when you don't even know much about Him. It is not just about reading. It's about interpreting the word. We've said this several times. You pick up the Bible and sometimes you just get different interpretation of God's word every day. You read the same chapter, you get different interpretation of the word, and it just speaks to you. It just speaks the word of life to you. And that is what the world is waiting for. The world is waiting for you to be able to show forth this word of life. I make bold to say about Peter and his, the changes in him. I just love the man. When he started preaching the gospel, he was telling people about this Jesus and this great thing that he does. His skills of speaking was wonderful. I mean, I'm a Shakespeare student, but I just look at what he would have told the people that would have been able to convert 3,000 people. The boldness with which he spoke. Then the action in Acts chapter 3, the beautiful, the gate called beautiful. When he got there and he saw a man that was lame. This was Peter that could not even do anything before. He saw a man that was lame and he dragged him up and like, get up, stand up and walk. You know, Gordon was sharing with me one time about Smith Wigglesworth. And now he used to tell people, you need to get yourself up and be all right when it came to your fellowship, isn't it? Smith Wigglesworth. And how this was the same thing Peter did. He took the lame man and said, stand up and walk. And he was bold to say that because he had the Spirit of God in him. He was able to remember the strength in Jesus Christ in him. The Spirit was able to interpret in him the power that Christ has given, the Holy Spirit has given to him, and the power in the name of Jesus Christ, and was able to tell people about that name. Paul also, he was in Romans 7 and 8, he was talking about his life before Christ and his life upon the incoming of the Spirit. In 7, he was calling himself a wretched man, a man without anything, a man that doesn't deserve to be here, a man that doesn't... But then, in chapter 8, he became transformed. It now started by saying, come, there's no condemnation in me anymore because I'm in Christ Jesus. I am no longer the old man. I'm a new man now. I'm no longer that person that is condemned. I'm this person now. That's what the Spirit does in you. It takes you from that old person. It brings you to that new person. And that's what the example that these people have given us. So as Christians now, our desire is to have the Holy Spirit. It's to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to walk the walk of faith. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to walk the walk of faith. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot walk the walk of faith. What is faith? Faith is substance of things, hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Believing that there is power in the name of Jesus and calling that name, that every man that calls upon the name shall be saved. That is, it's difficult with your human mind to think about it and think that's possible. But with the Holy Spirit, all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Because that is what the Holy Spirit makes you understand. You see the power in Jesus Christ. You know, maybe I don't know about you, but I've been in a situation where you don't have anything to say. You just get into that situation where you think, I'm lost, I'm down, I'm cast out. And then the Spirit just speaks one word into you, and it brings life back into you. That is what the Spirit does. And the Spirit itself is what energizes us, is what revamps us. He said, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwells in you, it will revive your mortal body. The Spirit made us the Son of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is what he did to them after Pentecost. And this is what he wants to do with you. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do with you. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell in you and revive you. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you more about Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants to journey the journey of life with you. And he's asking you, God is asking you to seek the Spirit because it is a gift of God to you. Simple and straight. It's a gift of God to you. God has given you the Spirit for you to use. He said, I will not leave you without a comforter. That is his promise. And if it happened to the disciples, it can happen to you. Because when they received it, they became powerful. They were able to speak bold. When you receive the Holy Spirit, what have you become? Do you speak bold? Or do you still sit tight? Do you feel strong? Or do you still feel timid? Do you feel empowered? Or do you feel, oh, I'm still my whole self? Then, if you feel you see your whole self, you feel timid, and you don't feel empowered, then maybe it's time for you to start rethinking. Do I really have the Holy Spirit? We need the Holy Spirit. We need that power of the Holy Spirit. Redemption hymn that we shared 2 weeks ago, Redemption hymn 252, verse 3 of that song says, it's the fire we want. Is the fire will plead, send the fire. The fire will meet our every need, send the fire. For strength to ever do the right, for grace to conquer in the light, for power to walk the world in white, send the fire. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Examine yourself this morning. Just speak to God. Ask him, where do I stand, God? Just speak to him the way Paul spoke in Romans 7 and said, look, I'm a wretched man, but I want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want to be in that position where I'm no longer condemned. Let the Holy Spirit speak into my life. Let it speak into my situation. Why don't you ask him to come into your life this morning? Tell him to take his place in your heart. Spirit of God, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, why don't you tell him to dwell in you this morning? for you to be able to reach out to the world, to be able to walk the world in light, in white. Why don't you ask him to send the fire this morning? Speak to God. Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit. Invite me in this morning.
Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Holy Spirit. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. I was struck by that verse in Corinthians, which Brother David shared with us this morning, that the Lord Jesus was made sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we should be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew that we had to be made righteous, because that is the secret of receiving the Holy Ghost. Paul says in the book of Hebrews that he was anointed with the oil of gladness, which is the Holy Ghost, above and beyond his fellows. And it says because he loved righteousness more than transgressions and wickedness. The anointing that breaks the yoke. The prophet Isaiah said, there shall come a day when his burden shall be lifted off of your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We need the anointing. Jesus had that anointing more than any other because he was God. And that anointing was upon him because he loved righteousness. And at Calvary, he made a way for us to receive his righteousness by faith. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is power, power,
wonder working power in the blood
of the blood.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
There is power. power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Thank you. Father, I pray for your people this morning. As fellowship, we pray together this morning. We lift up our voices to you. We pray that you fill us again with your Spirit. Father, you renew your Spirit in us so that we might be bold to speak the word of truth to this dying world. Father, so that we might be able to share the grace that's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world that doesn't know him. Father, so that we might be able to tell the world that we know the Prince of Peace, who is able to call peace into the troubled situation. Father, so that we might be able to show forth your glory into this world that we live in. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit in us. We pray for utterance, for boldness, for strength, to rise in times of tribulation. Father, we pray for the grace to be able to tell the world that we have a Savior who is Jesus Christ. And for the world to be able to see your Spirit in us and see the power that is in your word. Father, we pray for a better understanding of you through the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray this morning that you fill us anew. Father, we ask that you just pour your Spirit upon us once again and fill this temple with your glory. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your grace and your power in this place. Father, we pray that we will not stop but continue to seek your face. Continue to seek the empowering of your Spirit in us so that we might be able to rise in times of trouble. Thank you, Holy and Righteous Father. Father, we pray that you go with us as we go to our individual home tonight, this morning, Lord. And bless us, Lord, as we go. Let us be an impact. Let's make an impact to people around us. Let the world see Christ in us. Thank you, Holy and Righteous Father. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good afternoon.
Last week, yes.
Was it the 12th? The glorious 12th.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rachel. Happy birthday to you. May the dear Lord bless you.
Bless you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry.